Since 1984, January the 22nd, to be exact, 1984, we have recognized every year at this time the National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And today, you and I, our congregation, our church, join thousands of churches across America in upholding the value of human life from birth, the moment of conception, to the moment of death. As I was kind of preparing this week, I began to look at other national federal holidays. Now, by the way, this is not a recognized federal holiday. It's not recognized as a federal acknowledgement. There's New Year's Day. It began 4,000 years ago in Babylon with the first celebration, the birthday of Martin Luther King. Reagan signed it into law in 83, but it became official in 86. I began to look at some of the dates of the inceptions of these, and I'm feeling even older than I thought I was before, because a lot of these are within my lifetime. Now, Washington's birthday was not. That was in 1879, just in case you were guessing my age. Memorial Day was instituted in 1968. Independence Day, obviously, if you know your history, 1776. Labor Day, 1882, that's a little early for me. 1937 was Columbus Day. In 1977, the United Nations called it the Indigenous People Day, and we started calling that about a year or so ago. Veterans Day was 1929. Actually, it started at an Armistice Day in 1919. And most of those national holidays are for positive things. There are a couple of those that remember terrible things. Obviously, veterans related to war and MLK related to segregation and issues there. And you can look at this day, and I've heard some people actually, you know, call it Abortion Sunday. I feel like it's an opportunity for us to celebrate life. And so I prefer to describe it as the sanctity of human life. That's why we showed this video. I want to tell you this morning that you are uniquely created by God. Every one of you, to accomplish God's great purpose. And I know that in a congregation this size and with people watching online, there are many that have had maybe one or even more abortions. I want you to know this sermon is not intended to bring shame, but hope, forgiveness, healing, and peace. As we discuss the value of the unborn today from God's word, and that's what I want to suggest to you, we're going to be looking at what God says, not what David says. God says that all of you are valuable. He loves you. And I want to suggest to you this morning that there is no sin that can separate you from the love of God. In fact, Scripture goes so far as to say neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor anything created will separate us from the love of God. Now, we choose this day because it's the closest day to January the 22nd. And on that day, in 1973, the Supreme Court handed down an infamous law decision called Roe v. Wade that legalized abortion on demand in America. And since that day, over 62 million unborn babies have died legally in America. So how could you wrap your mind around 62 million? So here are all the states that would not exist, and the combined total of the populations in those states would add up to 62 million. By the way, I'm not making any judgment call against those states. If you're from there, in fact, Julie and I lived in one of these states. It just helped me get to my number. So you take the population, listen carefully, Georgia, Michigan, Virginia, Nebraska, Nevada, Iowa, South Dakota, Rhode Island, Arizona, Oregon, Kansas, Vermont, Massachusetts, Mississippi, and Alaska, 15 states, and then you've got to 62 million. That's 15 states wiped out, vanished, gone. That's what we've done in America since 1973, and we're still doing it at a rate of 700,000 children a year, or one child every 96 seconds. And what I want to share with us this morning is we need to understand the value of life such that when people comment to us as to what we think about that, we can say, I love life from beginning until God ordained end. I think it's a perfect time to meditate on several Bible verses that affirm the sanctity of human life. And so I would ask you to consider the possibility of memorizing them or maybe highlighting them in your Bible. And if a discussion related to the value of life, maybe what you could do is you could open your Bible and you could say, well, let's just see what God has to say, because I know it's a volatile conversation. So we come to celebrate the value of life. And how do we celebrate and how do we value life? By affirming three things. Three things this morning. Number one, by affirming the value and dignity of all human life, born and unborn. So I want to give you some verses. These will be on the screen, hopefully long enough for you to be able to jot these down. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. When a child is born, that child is created in the very image of God. Listen to what it says in Psalm chapter 8 and verses 4 and 5. What is man that you remember him? The son of man that you look after him? You made him little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. The psalmist is asking the question, why, Lord? Why are these humans such a big deal? And we are so valuable, we are so important in God's economy that he sent his only son to die for us. So first, we affirm the value and dignity of human life, born and unborn. The second thing that we do is we affirm that life begins at conception. And this is vitally important to us because this, as we see the world move into a direction of more and more abortion, this is an actual answer from God related to when that child begins. In Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For it was you, speaking of God, who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. How much does God know about the unborn baby growing in the womb? Everything. God takes the tiny hands and legs and joins them in the body. He forms the heart and sees it beating. I even think he watches over the thumb and makes sure it finds the mouth. Those are some of my favorite pictures. Just chilling in that hot tub, that little one in there. But God knows. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The word of the Lord came to me, says the prophet Jeremiah. And here's what he realized. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah's realization of God's role in his own life. But Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 44 are amazing to me. So here's Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And they meet. Talk about a neat story. Listen, it says, in those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, you are the most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt for joy inside of me. This is a story of Mary, again, pregnant with Jesus, and Elizabeth, pregnant with John the Baptist. When they meet, the yet-to-be-born John the Baptist leaps for joy. It demonstrates to me the biblical understanding that the unborn child is fully and completely human. So who gives life? God Almighty. Who causes the unborn baby to survive inside the womb? God Almighty. Who takes the little hands and feet and eyes and nose and lips and assembles them in the womb? And you all would join me in saying, God Almighty. Look at what it says in Psalm chapter 22 and verse 10. David speaking here. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. He realizes his place even at conception. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 1. Listen to me, coastlands. Distant peoples, pay attention. The Lord called me before I was born. He named me while I was in my mother's womb. So we affirm the sanctity of human life by affirming the value and dignity of all human life, born and unborn. We affirm the sanctity of human life by affirming that it begins at conception. And finally, we affirm the sanctity of human life by affirming our responsibility to do something. And this is where we get a little nervous. This is where we get a little bit nervous because we're saying, well, wait, I don't know what I can do. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 8 say these words. Speak up for those who have no voice, for the justice of all, for the justice of all who are dispossessed. Speak up. What does it mean for you? How is that accomplished for you in your own life? I think a lot of times our mind moves to the mega view, and here's all I would share with you. Just do the close-in view. As you're relating to family and friends, share with them. What does it mean? I can't tell you how many ladies that I've had call over the course of my ministry as a pastor and then as associational missionary, and they'll say, could you help me? I have a friend, and my friend is calling, and my friend's contemplating an abortion. What should I tell them? And often I'll just respond back to that person, well, what do you think? And they begin to share with me a story, and I say, that's it. There's no secret words. There's no particular way to do it. It's just a matter of sharing with them. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12 give us another dimension of what we have in terms of a responsibility. It says that we are to rescue those being taken off to death and save those stumbling toward slaughter. If you say, but we don't know about this, won't he who weighs hearts consider it? Won't he who protects your life know? Won't he repay a person according to his work? Now, to me, this passage asks us to consider a sobering reality. So let me paint a picture for you. Picture thousands of people being herded into railroad cars bounded for death camps. None of these people will return. They're heading for mass murder. You're there. You see it. You know what's happening. What will you do? What will you do is the question that Corrie ten Boom asked. And it's the question that I would ask for each of us. Someone is dying unjustly. You see it happening. What will you do? Here's a solemn word from the Lord. It's a warning against those who make excuses for not getting involved. We might say it's too messy. People won't understand. I can't risk my reputation that way. We might say, what if someone sees me? I might get arrested. If that's my place to say anything, I can't change the world. Why bother things? And we could go on and on with argument against our personal involvement, but slowly the train chugs out of the station. It's too late to do anything now. In the age of round the clock, minute by minute abortion, it's good to remember that lives are saved and hearts are changed one at a time. There's a moving scene from Schindler's List that comes to mind. And by the way, I want to say, if I reference this movie, I'm not suggesting necessarily that you all go out and watch it, especially as adults. If you watch it, you know, you need to view that before any of your children would look at it. But at the end of the film, Oscar Schindler is filled with remorse that he saved only a few people. The story is he's a businessman, and he's finding a way to give Jews jobs so that he can help them to escape the death camps. And at the end of the film, he's reminded by the survivors that you saved 1,100. And his response was, "Yet I could have saved more." Knowing his pain, the survivors presented him with a gold ring inscribed with a saying from the Talmud, from the Old Testament. Whoever saves one life saves the entire world. I can only imagine Oscar Schindler wearing that, but I want to ask you today, imagine today that I were to give you a ring, and I would say, as you have opportunity, as you have the occasion, as you have conversation, share with people what God says about life. See, for Corrie ten Boom, there really was no option. When she saw the Jews being herded off to concentration camp, her Christian faith propelled her to action. If you've not seen the story, their family reworked their clock shop and their residence, and they hid people in their attic. Eventually, the authorities discovered what they were doing, and they sent them to one of the concentration camps themselves. There, her sister dies, but Corrie lived to tell her story, and when asked why did you get involved, she simply said these words, "I had no other choice." I want to tell you this morning as I conclude that you are valuable to the Lord. You are valuable and precious to God. I hope you know that. I hope you realize that. And if you're here today and you say, "You know what, I'm not feeling very valuable," I want to ask you to reach out to me personally, and I want to pray with you, and I want you to help realize within yourself what God thinks of you and how He loves you. And I want to tell you this: God loves you so much that He gave His only Son. Now, as a father, I cannot imagine what that must be like to allow your son to die on a cross, but He loved you and me so much that He sent His Son to die, and that we have an opportunity to experience this eternal life with Him by simply receiving this free gift of salvation. And so just in a moment, as we do in our services here live, we allow you an opportunity to come forward and for us to pray with you about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're online, you don't have to come physically to the church. You can ask the Lord into your heart right where you are. And there are no special words. It's a matter of acknowledging that I am sinful. Christ, I need your gift of salvation. I receive your gift, thanking Him for that gift, and literally turning your life over to Him to be your Savior and then to be your Lord, to be in charge of your life. So following my prayer, I invite you here personally or online to make a decision to give your life to Him, because as we talk about the sanctity of human life, it really is the fact that today you are special in Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the awesome way, the creative way, the amazing way that You've made each one of us. Father, I wonder if we've ever thought about the fact that we can look at our hands or our feet, and we can just by thinking cause one of those appendages, one of those limbs, one of those fingers or toes to move. God, how You've designed us is amazing. And God, we thank You for that. But God, You You built us, you designed us, you created us so that we could be a blessing to this world that you made. Father, your admonition was that we would go and make disciples, that we would replicate our faith, the faith that we have in you, in other people. So Father, this morning I pray that as people are viewing online and here in person, God, if they've come to a point of realizing, you know what, I realize my life is special, that I am created in God's image, but I've not really acknowledged that Savior. I've really not acknowledged that Creator because I've never given my life to Him. So today, God, in these next moments, we look forward to a time in which we each ask ourselves this question, have I given my life to Jesus? And the greatest way to say thank you for the gift of life is to give that life back to you. And then you give back that life with abundance stamped all over it. God, abundance for this earth and abundance for eternity. So God, guide us now as we respond. It's in your name I pray. Amen.